In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Hello! Welcome to episode 6 of the Magical Talking Hat. I'm Tony.
I'm William.
And I think I might be wearing my underwear inside out.
We really needed to know that.
It's something. Welcome to episode 6. We got nothing tonight, people. We have absolutely nothing. We blew it all on the quintennial celebration. We got some uppity cats tonight. If you start hearing yowling and us running, there's a reason.
Yowling would be me.
Well, yes.
Well, maybe the cats, too.
If the cats run away, yeah. So if things go crazy in the middle, you'll know shit went down with cats. All the spinoffs, the pilots were not picked up. Every single one.
We couldn't even get NBC to pick it up, and they picked up Wonder Woman.
Oh, my God. And they showed 9 episodes of The Cape, and we couldn't get them to pick it up. And our special celebrity guest, LeVar Burton, couldn't make it, after all.
That was the most disappointing thing of all,
really. It really was, because butterfly in the sky, I can fly twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow. Anyway, we have absolutely nothing going on today. Although special guest reminds me what you were supposed to remind me of.
I was going to. You didn't.
I know, and I beat you to it.
Darn it.
I reminded myself. We are intrigued. I say me, but William goes along with whatever I say.
Pretty much.
Intrigued by the possibility of having a guest on our podcast. Maybe even periodically having different guests, but a third person every once in a while to try that out. So, we would like to hear from people if they are interested. You would need to be in the Iowa City area or be willing to drive to the Iowa City area. And ideally, because of the format we have here, it would be really cool if you had a place that you thought we could record with 3 people. I mean, I can bring the computer and the mic, but this room is a little tricky with the third person. We can make it work. We can make it work, but some of the people that I have in mind that might be good, I happen to know, have basements that would be ideal for recording with more than 2 people. So anyway, email the hat or contact either of us if you know how to do that, and let us know. And the sad thing is, the primary people who I think would like to and would be able to and everything, I'm pretty sure are so not caught up on the podcast. Like, one of them has listened to episode 1, and one of them has listened to, like, the beginning of episode 1. And I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to have to wait till they listen to episode 6 to hear. But maybe somebody will surprise me and want to do it or have actually listened to this. So we have 15 subscribers on Feedburner now.
That's good.
I know, and that's new, too. We didn't have that many as of a couple days ago. So I don't know what that's about. Yeah, we got nothing. This is it, people.
Well, you know, the reason I was very confident that I would be able to remind you about the whole guest thing is because this past week, it's been another one of those weeks where I'm kind of getting in contact with a lot of people that I used to know on Facebook. Facebook's kind of funny that way. When you first start, right? There's a big surge of all these people that you haven't talked to for 20 years. Then it kind of dies down. But then after a few months, you might get another surge of people that, you knew 15 years ago.
I don't know. I haven't been on that long.
Well, once you're on for a while, that'll happen. This is about the second or third time that, in a 2-week or 3-week period, I'll start getting a lot more friend requests from people that I haven't seen for a long time. This person actually has been on my list for a while, but I had lunch with her today. We went to school together. And for me, going to school with someone means I probably was in school with them from kindergarten clear through, you know, graduating high school.
Because you grew up in Walnut Creek.
Well, a small town, yes. The town that I grew up near is like 1,000 people. And
do you remember the fire where Mary lost her sight?
No.
How could you forget something so dramatic?
Anyway.
You remember how happy you and Alonzo were?
You're reliving your past TV watching experiences like they were real again.
Okay. Well, somebody's got to do it because nobody can hear. You have to get in closer to the mic. You're too far out.
I'm just about as close as I can get without kissing it. And I just don't think it's
William
my type.
William is lying. He's like 3 feet away from the mic.
Anyway, as I was saying.
Yes. Growing up as a poor black child.
A friend of mine from back in the day. And she's so entertaining to talk to. And she always has. She's one of those people that's just really, you know, vivacious and hilarious. And we had lunch with her today. And it was just so fun to talk to her. And I remember thinking while I was talking to her, wow, this would be so cool if, you know, we were recording this or something. And the conversations we were having, the stories we were telling. But I don't know if she'd be up. I mean, she lives in the area. I don't know if she'd be up.
Did you at least tell her about the podcast?
Well, I have before, yeah. Maybe I haven't.
Dude.
Well, I thought I had.
You suck at this.
No, I'll have to check.
Every week I put up a new Facebook post that the new episode is out. And actually, this will be the first week I don't put up a new post on Happy Jacks because I started resurrecting this old thread every week, and I'm finally like, it's getting obnoxious. If they're not listening now, they're not going to. So. But actually, I got Happy Jacks a new listener.
You did?
One of our listeners came to me the other day, one who I work with, and he was like, so I took your advice and I started listening to Happy Jacks, and it's really cool because I used to be a gamer and I haven't now, and so I'm getting into it, but it really makes me want to game again, and I don't have a gaming group, so fuck you. And I was like, my work here is done. Oh, which also reminds me, I hate our listeners again.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, what did they do this time?
Nothing. This week, the hat, nothing. Not a single question, topic, feedback for the hat. The hat has been crying, people.
Oh, we don't like that when that happens.
Somebody said, but I have a theory about this, and it may not be their fault, so I'm trying to suspend my hate. Because normally on a show where you write in and people read what you write or whatever, at least for me, there's a tendency to not want to do too much. Like, what you want to do is you send in, like, a viewer email, and then you wait until it's read or until enough time has gone by that you're convinced they're not going to.
Oh.
And then you send more. But with the hat, we literally are pulling these out randomly, people. So if you send in, like, 4, they might get read all in one show. On the other hand, you could send in 12, and they might not get read for months. So don't worry about it. We can't have too many because we're just drawing them randomly out of the thing. So send more stuff. We need more. It is actually starting to get a little low.
A little bit.
Work on that.
Boy, we really make our listeners work for it.
I'm trying, because if not them, me, and I'm not into that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No.
I don't know why I keep forgetting that.
Yes. Did you do anything this week other than...
visit old friends?
That. Lunch.
Well, you know, I did some more things with my writing projects and stuff, but see, you don't find that very interesting, so I don't know how much you really want me to
talk about. I haven't read any of it.
Well, I did decide, based on some of the work I've been doing, that I think in May I'm going to have like a marathon writing, like for days, just do nothing but focus on the novel.
I think now that we have this awesome microphone, we should be revisiting the Twilight Nerds audio book idea.
Well, I like the idea a lot, and I think the story really sort of lends itself to that kind of thing. But
a long time ago, we thought we should turn it into... audiobook and put it up on Podiobooks like for free, and it would get some publicity that way. And then, like most every project except this one, it just didn't happen. But we could now we have a mic, and actually, I found out that other people have done some minor voice work. So if you really wanted to get some voices in, you could do that too.
Hmm.
So that could be fun.
Well, that's something to think about.
Yes,
they're not long or anything. It wouldn't take a person very long to listen. So it'd be a good thing to listen to while you're, I don't know, driving.
Well, I mean, you can break them up into chapters and things.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm doing my audiobooks. I just finished the fourth Dresden Files audiobook.
Oh.
This week.
Have you read the books at all?
No. I'm getting them all through the audio. Because, well, here's the thing. Audible literally has all of them.
Mm.
And the person reading them mm-hmm. is James Marsters, a.k.a. Spike from Buffy.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And here's the thing. He's not, you know, it's not his real British. He's not really British.
But I don't know
anything about him. Yeah, he's not really British. And he's not reading them British. It's just him. But he still has a hell of a voice. And he's really good at it. Like, he's really good at reciting what's being read and making it sound like talking.
Huh.
Like, he doesn't sound like he's reading so much. And still has a great voice. And, yeah, no, so I'm really... I think that was the tipping point for me that I started getting the books that way, but I'm really enjoying them that way.
Well, maybe we should... Because the kids are big fans, and maybe yeah. we should... maybe we should do that. When you download them... I mean, what format are they in?
You get to pick.
Oh, okay.
I've told Audible I'm using iTunes. And Audible said, okay. And it has its own little download thing. But, I mean, as soon as I download it, it shows up in my iTunes.
Hmm.
But, you know, there's options in there. They're like, what will you be listening to this on? And you can set that up.
We should try that because the kids have read through book 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, then we have to go to the bookstore and buy more books or whatever. Maybe yeah. it would be easier just to download and... And one of them has a Zune, you know, and he's listening to that all the time. So maybe we could download stuff onto that, do you think, or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm sure it would work on that.
Yeah, we should try that.
Did
you know that Neil Gaiman had a contest going for, you know, people read a little bit of his novel American Gods, and if people vote, and whoever wins is going to have a part in... have a part in the audiobook for American Gods. I don't know if it's the audiobook.
The audiobook's already out. They're in development, or they're in plans right now to do a TV show.
So no, maybe it's that. Not a TV show. He's going to do some audio thing
huh.
with characters, though, doing the voices or something.
Huh.
You haven't heard about this?
I haven't heard anything about that.
See, you would...
And as such, I believe you're making it up.
No, I'm not making it up. Whatever the project is, it's like a 10th anniversary kind of thing. Would it be 10 years since it was published?
Probably.
Okay, and they're going to do this big 10th anniversary thing, and, you know, you could have a part in it, a very minor part, if you're voted one of the best voices in this thing. And so people are reading... I think they're reading right from the first chapter, a little excerpt, and then people vote, and then they'll have finals and semifinals and whatever, and then whoever wants is going to be able to be in the thing. I didn't submit anything, but I thought surely you'd heard of it.
No.
Huh.
I still think you made it up.
No, I'm not making it up. I don't make things up. You do.
See, when I'm not talking and you're talking, the little bars are very low on the thing.
Well, I'm looking right at the microphone.
There's also distance involved.
Okay.
See how far I am from the mic. See how far you are from the
mic.
Yeah,
I'm closer.
You really are not.
Well, it looks like I'm closer to me.
I don't think so. We need somebody with the tape to figure it out. And I also talk louder than you anyway.
I just need to project.
Yes. And if you can, yeah, pretend you're Avery Brooks. Not DS9 Avery Brooks. But Spencer for Hire, Avery Brooks.
Spencer for Hire.
So pretend you're Hawk.
Hawk.
Yes.
Mm.
Pretend you're a badass pimp in a purple outfit. Oh my God, speaking of which, I think I've lined it up so that me and some friends this weekend are going to all get together and watch Black Dynamite on Netflix Instant Watch. What? And I'm very excited about that.
I don't even know what that is.
Black Dynamite is a movie from a few years ago. It's a comedy. And it's basically a satire of blaxploitation films.
Okay.
But here's the trick. Here's what nobody does nowadays. It's not a self-aware satire. Like, it's playing it straight.
Hmm.
And apparently it is freaking incredibly hilarious. And so I'm very excited about this.
It's playing it straight.
Yes.
But it's intended to be a satire.
Yes, it's basically set up. It's supposed to be like this lost blaxploitation movie from the 70s.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, they fit in junk, but like there's no winking at the camera kind of stuff whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's built in. And so and apparently it's just awesome, and I'm very excited about that. I went to movies and I saw Hannah.
I saw you made a comment about that on Facebook, yes. And I'm concerned because it sounded like you didn't like it.
Yeah, did you?
Well, I didn't get to see it. Yeah. I've been kind of looking forward to seeing it.
I did not particularly like it, and I was expecting not to like it because the reviews were very mediocre.
Oh.
And so I was expecting it to be a very mediocre movie. It was not. What it in fact was the seed or the skeleton of a really awesome movie that was fleshed out and executed really poorly. And so the net result is still, it was a mediocre experience for me. But unfortunately, instead of sitting there going, yeah, this movie's okay, but not great, I spent the whole time going, oh, but this could have been so much better if they didn't do this. And it really, and I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it was, but it kind of feels like somebody in the past made this European indie film that was really awesome about this, like, plot. Mm-hmm. And this is the American remake. Because there were just so many bits that I was like, oh, this is cool. This is a little different. This is unique. This is getting cool. And now we just have a big chunk of standard American action movie bullshit right here.
Huh.
And then we're like, oh, and it also, I don't know that it fit it all in well enough. I'm thinking maybe it would have done better as some sort of serial, like a TV series,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I don't know. I'm more wounded because I think I saw more potential in it than I expected to.
Do you think it's one of those things? Because
it's not awful to see. I mean, feel free to go ahead and see it. But also, I was sitting behind, or in front of, you know how you go to the movies and there's two teenagers that won't shut up sitting like behind you?
Sure, sometimes.
Imagine that they are 87.
87.
Yes, and I don't mean 87 teenagers. I mean two people who are 87 years old who won't shut up.
Huh.
It was awful, and it's especially awful because they talk louder because they can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is anytime the dialogue stops, they're like, oh, what just happened there? I'm not sure. What do you think they're going to... Oh, I think that's her father. Oh, you think... All the time. And I totally want to turn around and be like, you know... When the dialogue stops, it doesn't mean it's break time. Sometimes filmmakers make parts quiet on purpose. It's not like, oh, you go get a Coke right now. This is just going to be a part that you don't need to be here for. And I didn't do it for one reason, because there have been teenagers that behave that badly that I did not punch in the face. And I'm like, if I didn't do it to the teenagers, I am not going to go after Ma and Pa Kettle.
You see,
but when I got up afterwards, they were 102, and I was like, why were they even in here? Why were you in the R-rated action movie?
It seems like you're still very upset about this.
I was. I am. It was just yesterday.
It takes a while for it to wear off?
Oh, yeah. Probably till the next movie I see. That Black Dynamite might fix everything.
Well, do you think that it was... because this actually does happen to films, where it starts out a certain way, and then... You know, studio executives come
in and
say...
That was my first thought. I'm like, somebody had an idea and they wrote it down and it was awesome. And then they made the movie and chipped away at it a little bit of a time and now it's this.
Because, think about it. If it had been the film that you're thinking would have been good, would it have been one that, you know, was in all the theaters and advertising on television, or would have been kind of an independent film that you heard about?
It
kind
of would be, but that's the thing, is it was in between. It's not clearly just this big budget action film.
Mm-hmm.
It was this in-between, so it showed you just enough to show you what it could have been and to make you sad.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you read an interview with the director or something and you find out that the director or some producer's complaining about how, oh, man, we had this lined up. It was perfect. We had a great cast. We had a great story and script, and then the executives came in and, you know, they wanted this, that, and the other thing. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see that.
Yeah.
Because it does happen sometimes. Why are you torturing that small animal?
Because she pisses me off. Esmeralda's here, in case you guys were worried that this was a cat-free episode. Esmeralda's here, annoying me as usual. Don't worry, she's not the one that's going to go crazy and kill us all. And he actually left the room, so we're probably fine. I don't know. It bugged me. And it was also kind of a weak performance by Kate Blanchett. Noticing that pretty much everything Crystal Skull and later, she's not doing so hot.
Well, Crystal Skull was a huge...
I know, but it's like it wounded mistake. Her to her core. And like it's like, you know, the crack shot who something traumatic happens and they can't shoot right anymore.
For a while.
I think it's her, like, you know, like her acting freaks out now.
In
or
a slump.
Yeah, so, but it's been a while.
Well, what has she been in since then that you've seen... I mean,
what else? I don't know. She's been doing more bit parts lately. I thought.
When did she do the Dylan thing, the Bob Dylan thing? Was that before
I
or
don't
after?
Know.
She was really good in that. Did you ever
you
see
saw that?
That? Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh. Well, why are you so surprised that
because
I saw
like four people saw it.
Oh. So?
It was a little bit avant-garde. I'm just surprised. I mean, I guess if somebody's going to see it, it's going to be you. But
avant-garde, really? You think so? I mean, aside from the fact that they cast different people in his role and one of them was a woman, I mean, okay, that might...
But that's the thing, and the whole thing was just six people playing Dylan in different parts of his lives, right? Or his life.
Well...
It's a bit performance arty, and less movie.
I guess...
And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's a different thing. But I also have a problem, and this is horrible, and people are going to be mad at me. Well, okay, if people listened, they'd be mad at me. If we had enough of a demographic that they cared about what I'm about to say. I have trouble mixing up the Kate. Blanchett, Winslet, and Beckinsale.
Oh, really?
Yes. And back in the day, Hudson. But I'm proud to say that I've been forced to watch enough shitty romantic comedies that I can now spot her a mile away. Oh my God, Ezzy. Esmeralda is in the hat.
Boy, she's braver than me.
That's some blasphemy there.
Well, maybe the hat likes cats. I mean, we really don't know anything about the hat, where it came from, why it does what it does. Are we ever going to figure that out, by the way? Do we have anyone working on that? Is our research department looking into it?
Ezzy is our research department.
Oh,
so
well, maybe
she's just literally working. Looking into it right now.
Okay. Well, I'm very anxious to hear the results of her research because... it's a very mysterious thing.
It is. the anticipation is palpable.
Yeah. Our listeners are probably just itching to know, as we are, what the story really is.
So much. Okay. We are 22 and a half minutes. Should we try and pull a question out of the hat?
Well, if...
Don't pull a cat out of the hat. I didn't
I don't
mean
know
for
if
that
she,
to rhyme.
I don't know if she's going to let me, because I can't.
Dude, she weighs like 7 pounds.
Well, I don't want to disturb her.
I think you're scared of cats. That's always your excuse. I don't want to disturb
them.
I'm
not scared of them. I'm scared of the hat.
Well, yeah. You reach deep inside that and pull things out, though.
Well, I guess so.
Kind of. Disconcerting.
What is the appropriate course of action when you notice someone's pant zipper is not zipped?
I get this a lot.
I love these sociological questions.
I get this a lot.
Well, cultural, maybe.
Ideally, don't say anything. As casually as you can, get down on the floor and fix it with your teeth. Especially if you can do it without them noticing, is the most... appropriate.
Okay, should we just move on then? Now that you've given that answer. Oh, man.
Well, you're not going to top it, but feel free to give your own suggestion.
I never try to top it. It's just, for some reason, I think I take these questions a lot more seriously than you do.
I don't know what gives you that
maybe
idea.
I'm not supposed to take them seriously, but somehow I always do, because, you know, people find themselves in these situations, and they can be kind of embarrassing and difficult. Because what's the conflict here from a social standpoint? The conflict is a person is in a potentially embarrassing situation. And it doesn't really matter what the situation is. It's just by the standards of the society or the culture, it's going to be embarrassing for them. However, we live in a culture, especially here, where it's also embarrassing, you know, for someone to say anything about it, even privately. Unless it's really private, like they can take you aside, and even then it can
just
be
just send a personal email that said, dude, your dick's hanging out.
Well, I don't know. The point is, the reason people run into this problem is because we have contradictory rules on this kind of thing. It's like, well, you don't want to embarrass the person. Like, what do you? Shouldn't you just maybe pretend like you don't notice? I mean, it is the person's zipper after all. I mean, what are you looking down there for anyway?
I always. That's the first place I look when I meet people.
So yeah, this is something that really vexes people.
Okay, you have now spent minutes explaining why it's a valid question. Now answer the damn thing.
Well, I suppose the question would be better posed to someone who is versed in the, you know, the
zipper arts.
No, like manners and stuff like that. Because I have no idea. I don't know which side you put the dessert fork on or how many people you should invite to your wedding.
Okay, so what you're saying is I'm being too silly about it, and this is a very serious, important question, but we have no capacity for answering it whatsoever.
I don't know if really, you do. Maybe you do. It's just a way
I do, and I gave the best answer I could.
That's not what I meant by capacity to answer the question. What is the appropriate course of action?
I'm all for the little private. Actually, no. It depends on the circumstance. Very much. This is true for everything in a social situation. You need to gauge the individual, how well you know the individual, the people around who are possibly in earshot, how well you know them, the people around who might see, how well you know them. Because depending on the circumstance, if you're just hanging out with friends at somebody's house, well, first of all, it's totally fine to be like, dude, put the mouse back in its hole.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also totally fine for them to walk around with their fly open the whole time. And who gives a damn?
Well, maybe.
So I imagine
the person's probably thinking more like, well, you're at work or something like that.
If you give a damn, set them aside and say, your fly's down. If you don't give a damn, and especially if you dislike them, let it go. Just leave it hanging, so to speak. Because then it's awesome. And in fact, if you're both applying for the same job, if you can find a way to get their zipper down without them noticing, that could be a good deal as well.
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Sure you hadn't.
I think one time I was in the situation and I kind of, somehow I was able to discreetly let them know and then actually sort of, you know, turn around and start talking to everyone else, getting their attention while they were behind me taking care of it so nobody would notice. But I'm kind of tall, so that was easy for them to sort of hide behind me. That wasn't a problem. If I were littler, I don't think I could have done
it. William Wright, human zipper shield.
Well, it worked. Everyone was paying attention to me. Nobody noticed what was going on, and I think the person
appreciated. Everybody was paying attention to the fact that William Zipper was down. They didn't notice the other person.
Yeah, zippers. I usually like button flies myself. Then that way, seriously? I don't have to worry about it. Oh yeah, really? You don't like button fly jeans or pants or whatever that the fly buttons
up? Not since this millennium.
Oh no.
So how is it living in 1993?
Well, it's pretty awful actually because I can't find button fly jeans.
There's a reason for that.
Because nobody else likes them.
Because we live in the present.
It's a fashion thing? You can't even tell the difference between someone who has a button fly.
It's hard
and a
to find
fly.
Zoot suits at this point also.
Yeah, but zoot suits look different, like, on the outside. I mean, a person's fly, when it's properly zipped up or buttoned up, you can't tell the difference.
Yes, but eventually you're going to go into a men's room and there's going to be a urinal and they're going to make fun of you.
And why would I care about that?
I'd feel very awkward if a bunch of guys were standing around while I was trying to pee and they were making fun of me.
And making fun of the fact that you have a button fly instead of a zipper fly.
I
really doubt
say,
that would happen.
The cheese stands alone! The cheese stands alone!
Whatever.
Also, actually, I think a lot of the button flies, because the buttons are metal, I think there were a lot of testicular injuries from, like, closing it too fast and stuff, and it just ricochets off things.
You just make this stuff up. Zippers just seemed less reliable to me. Not that I've really had that much trouble with a zipper being undone or whatever, or like coming undone or whatever, but...
Guys, this is the most intimate conversation I have ever had with William. I am not even making it up. I'm a little bit floored that we've gone into this much detail.
It's apparel. Come on.
Yes, but it's apparel in your area.
Oh, whatever. You are so... Whatever. Are we done with this one?
I think we have beaten it to death. Okay, give me that.
Here.
Okay. Where'd you put your root beer?
That's right here. Oh. I opened it beforehand this time, thanks to a helpful suggestion from you.
That wasn't me. I don't know that guy. Do you remember the time when we used to work together and I offered you $15 to eat a Big Mac?
Was it $15?
I think it was $15.
Did you actually call it a Big Mac or did you call it chicken? Because you always offered chicken that wasn't really chicken.
I mean, an actual Big Mac. It was sitting on your desk.
Did you have the $15?
Oh, my God. You don't even... Okay. For those of you who don't know, which apparently includes William, William used to be my boss. That's kind of when we became friends. And it's kind of why I'm getting back at him now with this. But he used to be my boss. And one day I came back from lunch and I had eaten McDonald's. And I eat a lot now, but back then I even used to eat more, so I don't even know how many sandwiches I got or whatever. But anyway, bottom line, I was mostly full, and I had an entire Big Mac left untouched. So William, super vegan, is in his little managerial cubicle, and I go in there, and I sit down, and I put a Big Mac on his desk, like right in the middle in front of where he's sitting. And I reach into my wallet and I pull out three crisp $5 bills and I say, I have $15 right here that are yours. If you right now will eat this Big Mac.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't? Because then you had to, being you, you had to explain it to me. And you said, first of all, there is the monetary point at which I'm willing to forego my own ethics and eat this, which $15 may or may not have exceeded. But then there's the barrier to the fact that I haven't eaten meat in so many years that eating this is going to do a number on my gastrointestinal system. And $15 definitely does not exceed the price for me making that kind of sacrifice.
So I told you it wasn't enough?
I'm paraphrasing that, but yes, basically that is what you said.
That's interesting. That just doesn't sound like something I'd say. I'm not a super vegan, by the way. I mean, you know.
Well, not now, but you were then.
Well, I guess kind of.
Like Brandon Ruth in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I haven't seen it.
He's a super vegan.
Oh.
I haven't either. He's got a new movie, though, that I'm curious about.
Is that a comic book movie?
It's an Italian comic from the 1970s.
Oh, okay.
I looked it up, and it bears no resemblance to said comic. But it's the movie adaptation of that, and it's already been screened in Italy, and they don't like it.
Oh, well.
Oh my God!
What?
Sorry for those of you visually impaired. I pulled another thing out of the hat, and it's about William's favorite topic.
No.
Yep.
Really?
This one's a bit more philosophical, though. You might like it. It's more direct.
Okay.
This is from Useless Trivia Man. So there, damn it.
Oh, haven't we heard from him before?
Yes. And I think he lives in the Quad City. So Useless Trivia Man and Veramon and Azure Talon and those guys, if you wanted to drive to Iowa City, you could be on the podcast. Not all at once, though. I can't take you guys more than one at a time. Anyway, Useless Trivia Man writes, is Charlie Sheen going to be the next Keith Richards or the next Keith Moon?
Well, that's a good one. I would say...
I think either one is giving him too much credit.
I was just going to say no. I would say no to that question all the way around.
I would be okay with the next Keith Moon in that he'd be dead.
Yeah, that'll happen.
By the way, in no way does this constitute any sort of threats against Charlie Sheen's person or his estate in any capacity. But John Cryer, I'm going to kick your ass.
But don't you think that, you know, 5 years from now, no one's even going to remember this whole thing? I mean, it's just going to blow over, isn't it?
Well, the internet never gives up anything, but I'm really hoping so. It's not interesting now. And you know, he's in discussions to get his job back.
Yeah. I mean, who really talks about...
That's what he said, and everybody else said, no, never mind. I think it's almost over already.
I was thinking of someone else who had some outbursts like this, and nobody really talks about it anymore. Now I don't even remember who it was.
Well, Nicolas Cage has some. He had a new one just last week.
Mel Gibson, does he still get a lot of trouble? I wasn't thinking
of
him.
Oh, my God. Wait and see what the box office is going to be for The Beaver, and then we'll find out.
For what?
The Beaver?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God.
The TV show?
No.
Leave it to Beaver.
Okay, no, you need to hold with me here.
Whenever you say that, it's bad.
This is complicated, but it's true. I'm not making this part up.
You are too.
By which I mean this whole thing. No, I'm not making this up. So, before The Serious Crazy came out for Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had a little bit of crazy already. But I mean, the serious, like, you know, answering machine tape crazies. He made a movie with Helen Hunt. The movie was about a man who went through some sort of traumatic experience, I don't remember what, and stopped talking. Then he found, I believe, his child's hand puppet that was a beaver and started talking in a completely different voice through the hand puppet and only through the hand puppet. And some therapist thought this would be a good idea, and so he, like, went back to his job and everything and just interacted with everybody through the hand puppet. And it was a weird, kind of creepy, feel-good movie. But not nearly as creepy as it seems now, because it's Mel Gibson post-crazy batshit stuff. And the movie was made a while ago, but then Mel Gibson lost his mind. And so they didn't release it, but they're going to release it this year.
Well, who's in it?
Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt.
Oh, he's in it. Oh,
yeah, he's the guy with the beaver.
Okay, I thought he was just...
No, he is the dude who doesn't talk, but with the hand puppet. In fact, I think the beaver has an Australian accent, which I find a little ironic. But yeah, no, he's the guy. He's the guy with the hand puppet. And Helen Hunt's his wife, and I don't know about the rest.
It sounds a little bit like Lars and the Real Girl or something like that.
But really bad. I love Lars and the Real Girl.
Well, yeah, it's a very good film.
I absolutely adore that film.
Yeah, it's a good film.
And it's so hard to recommend it because you tell people what it's about and 99% of them are like, yeah, never mind. And that 1% who are like, that seems awesome, you're like, oh, in that case, you probably won't like it.
I think it would be hard for you especially to recommend, given...
The night I saw it, I called my parents up, and I said, you guys need to see this movie. Put it in your Netflix queue. It's called Lars and the Real Girl. And they're like, oh, cool. I'm like, here's what it's about. And I told them, and they were like, And I said, I know, but you need to see it anyway. Trust me. Just hold on and trust me. Sarah Stone, will you tell Sarah to see it?
What?
Sarah doesn't believe me.
She doesn't believe you?
She won't see it.
Oh.
I started to tell her what it was about, and she's like, I'm done. So, will you tell her? Tell her what it's about, but just tell her to see it.
Sarah, it'd be okay for you to see it, I think.
Not even okay, it'd be awesome.
I hope so, yeah.
It's a good movie.
Thought it was a good film, and it's not...
William liked it.
If you explain in very brief terms what it's about, you're not going to know what it's about.
No, and if you explain in too much detail, I think you give away more.
Yeah, that's right.
I like coming at to it kind of cold.
Yeah, that's
which is why I'm not mentioning it now, people. But do go to Netflix and get it, Lars and the Real Girl. If you read the description and you're like, what the fuck? Trust us, do it anyway.
No, it's very good.
If you read the description and you're like, that's my kind of movie, what the hell is wrong with you? But also, you might not like it as well.
No.
But and it's Ryan Gosling, for anybody who's into him. I'm kind of into him now.
Well, I'm not, but I thought he did an excellent job.
I was a huge fan of Young Hercules, so.
What is that?
It was one of the first things he was ever in. They basically took, when Hercules the Legendary Journeys was a big deal.
Which was what, the TV show?
Yeah,
oh.
With Kevin Sorbo and everything.
Okay.
They actually made a Saturday morning live action show that was Young Hercules with a teenage Hercules and a teenage Aeolus. And the teenage Hercules was Ryan Gosling. It was awful.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
It was like Saved by the Bell, the Hellenic years. Weird shit.
How did we get on to this topic? What? Were we answering a hat question?
Yes. Ryan Gosling was from Lars and the Real Girl, which was from The Beaver, which was from Mel Gibson, which was from Crazy Shit, okay. which was Charlie Sheen.
Okay. Tom Cruise, that's who I was thinking of earlier. Who
went, what?
He went crazy, and now nobody ever talks about it.
Yeah, but he only went crazy for like 5 seconds, and it was a funny crazy. It wasn't a creepy crazy, except that he still has that poor girl trapped in that marriage.
Okay, but what's Charlie Sheen? Is he creepy or crazy or funny, or what's his crazy?
No, he's creepy. He's been doing all this crazy insulting shit and stuff. Okay. And he's really been an ass about it. Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy. Just be glad it's him, not you.
But you don't
think... William, if you had Tom Cruise's troubles, you might be Tom Cruise crazy too.
But you don't think it'll just, the whole Charlie Sheen thing will just blow over like the whole Tom Cruise thing blew over?
I hope it will.
And before the answering machine thing with Mel Gibson, some of his earlier stuff was kind of starting
like
to blow over
Sugar
too.
Tits and,
well, I don't know,
and
all
Passion
this,
of the Christ.
Yeah, the stuff he was running into at that time, and then it kind of
blew
over.
See, it blew over in that people didn't care, but it didn't blow over in the degree that people were like, oh yeah, Mel Gibson, he's fine.
Well, I don't know if anyone's ever going to say that about Charlie Sheen either, but they're
there
not
gonna we
be go. Talking about him all the time. Or
I hope not, and we should stop.
I don't think he'll ever
rate
Keith Moon or Keith Richards.
By the time I got to Moon.
Well, okay.
Good night, Keith Moon. I'm going to make that one. Well, you know the funny thing, and it's really sad to the memory of Keith Moon, but whenever I think of Keith Moon, I think of Moon Keith Moon from The Toast King and Insanity Prawn Boy.
Oh, well, I don't, you know, I've only seen a few of those, so I don't know very much about that.
I am the Toast King. As you are aware, heat induces royalty, and therefore I am the Toast King. And I rule over the moon.
Heat induces royalty.
Even a Nazi moon base? Yes.
Even a Nazi moon base.
What do we got?
Well, this is...
William, for those of you visually impaired, William has just drawn another question from the hat.
This is kind of addressed to us.
Well, that's fine.
Tony and Will.
The hat doesn't talk, despite its name.
I heard the podcast. Also, I should be a special guest sometime because I'm special and a guest. How perfect is that? We'll talk about... Then it just says dot, dot, dot. I presume she means we'll talk about this.
I presume, and I don't want to speak for the hat, but I presume that the email for the hat was a long-ass email, and the hat was unwilling/unable to write all that shit out, let alone on a tiny half-index card.
Good. That's a score for me. So, Sarah.
Sarah? Does it just say Sarah?
We'll love Sarah.
Okay. This was Sarah who...
we were just talking to.
Well, and Sarah who in episode one I told not to listen to it.
Don't you think that's odd that we were just talking to her about this movie and now the hat gives us...
It's really quite magical.
Why does the hat do that?
It's magical!
But it doesn't have to be magical like that. It's plenty magical already. Not that I mind
reading
something from Sarah.
Up.
Because it's great to hear from Sarah.
Yes. Unfortunately... Having had some third-hand communications with Sarah recently, this whole special guest thing is not going to work in the near future. The plan was, she's going to be here for Memorial Day weekend. But I won't be here for Memorial Day weekend. Hmm. We'll be, theoretically, because we record on Thursday nights, we'll be recording that Thursday before, and then I'll leave Friday night, and she'll get in Friday night or Saturday morning, so...
Oh.
Unless you two want to do a special podcast, which is the two of you, which I'd be okay with.
Oh, wow. That would be so different.
You couldn't do it at my house, but I could lend you the mic.
That would be a very different show.
Yeah. But sure. Otherwise it won't work this time. But hopefully she'll come by another time.
But she is special, and she would be a guest. So, that does work out perfectly.
She likes the podcast, which actually I have a theory on that, too. I think it's just a nostalgia thing. Because pretty much when we used to hang out together, it would be the three of us talking like this, like, all the time. So I think she just hears the two of us, and she, like, wants to be... She probably talks at her iPod while she's listening, and is like, Tony, you ignorant slut, and stuff like that.
Aw, see, now I miss Sarah now. How come she can't come and be our special? Maybe she can Skype special guest or something.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to get into that yet. Someday we'll do that, but I know people who want in if it's on Skype, and that's complicated. Also, our internet is a little bit ass these days, so we have to get that worked out. We got a new router, which we thought would fix it, and it didn't. But it's a cool new router, because our router was older than Snot. So it's good that we have this new router. But our internet's still kind of shitty.
But you didn't think there was anything else in her message to the hat that might be of interest to our listeners?
What do you mean I didn't? The hat clearly did not. The hat probably read, I don't know, a large random list of topics that Sarah was suggesting, hypothetically, and felt that that wasn't useful because we don't pick the topics on the show. The hat picks them.
Oh, well,
it's all things you want to talk about, too fucking bad.
Well, but do you think the hat might have, like, divided them up and is maybe going to, you know, feed them to us later kind of thing? Or
the hat might have done that, but no.
Okay.
I mean, it's totally possible the hat is magical and mysterious, but yeah, no, that totally didn't happen.
You seem to know quite a bit more about the hat than I do.
Because I'm the only one who handles the webpage and everything. Oh my god, which reminds me, people are getting kind of active on the blog, which is awesome. But I do have one little comment. Blood Sparrow, you have these beautiful, wonderful comments on the episodes, and you're putting them in a spot where literally I'm like the only person who reads them. So stop attaching them to the episode over on Podomatic and go to the blog and put your commentary there. Good.
Okay. I've seen some of them, I think.
Do you go to Podomatic?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. I think I've seen them there.
There may be one other guy, too, because I know one other guy who's subscribing through there. But more people are going to see them on the blog, so do that.
Yes, if you want more people to see them.
Also, correction from last podcast, the link I posted, well, you should have seen it if you went to the blog, but when I recommended the blog douchydm.com, I spelled it wrong, not because I don't know how to spell douchey, but because I was blindsided by an email from somebody who did not know how to spell douchey. So the actual URL is douchydm.com. You should still go check it out. And if you went to the blog to see it, it was already there. So that's awesome. Okay. You think we got more time for another question?
Well, how much time do we have?
We're at about 47.
Yeah, we have time.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yes.
We're going through a lot of questions, people. You need to write some more.
Yeah, we're really... I mean, last time we did this too. It was
We're going to need more questions. So do it. Don't think about it. Just do it.
Did you pull another one from Sarah out of there?
Probably. No, this is an anonymous one.
Oh.
Why would anyone want a Betsy Wetsy type doll? Isn't cleaning up your toys hard enough without having to clean up after your toys?
Well, you got me. I mean, I could never figure out why anyone would want that.
I think this is incredibly uncaring and judgmental against people who have a urination fetish. Just rude.
You're saying that people with a urination fetish would want a doll like this?
I figure they hold the doll over their head and just squeeze, and they're like, oh, yeah. Dude, they're into some weird shit. You don't even know.
And I don't.
I bet there's a website of that. I'm going to make a website of people just being peed on by dolls, not by people.
These are children who are getting these dolls, not adults.
No, my actual theory is that it's just some grown-up shit. Like, that's the thing. Like, when you're little, like, work is play.
Mm-hmm.
When you're little, things that, like, other people, it's like a response. Like, well, think about it. They play cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the ass when I come home from work. I don't want to cook dinner. But when you're literally like, oh, yeah, I'm cooking. They play feeding the baby. It's like, oh, yeah, have you fed a baby? It's annoying as all fuck. Babies are not fun.
Well, you know, back in the good old days, kids didn't have to play to work. They put them to work. My dad tells a story. My father was 6'4" by the time he was a freshman in high school. And he was pretty tall when he was like 12. In fact, tall enough that my grandfather could, you know, put him on a tractor and have him like do work around the farm.
And my dad had no idea that farm work was based on height.
Well, I mean, you do have to, when the tractors are involved, you have to be able to reach, you know, all the pedals and levers and everything.
When your son's as high as an elephant's eye, he can ride the tractor.
So dad talks about how he was farming when he was 12 and 13 years old, and it wasn't until he was maybe 17 that he realized, hey, wait, this is work. He thought it was fun that his dad let him drive the tractor around. He did all that work for 5 years and not even thinking about, hey, wait a minute.
My grandpa talks about when he was a boy and had to work, not talks right now, but he used to talk, and he actually had to work in the Betsy Wetsy mines. He didn't play. He had to chip Betsy Wetsy dolls out of the rock.
Okay, my point is
by hand.
There are some stories.
And then he had to fill his quota of Betsy Wetsy dolls that day and send them out on the thing, or they wouldn't give him any food, and he never got to play with them. He just had to mine them every day.
There are stories of kids, not fake ones like yours, but where kids had to work and it was a horrible experience. But for
dude,
some
don't
kids,
talk bad about my fake kids. I love my fake kids like they were my own flesh and blood.
For some people, when they were 12, 13, 14 years old and they were doing work around the house that a lot of kids today would never even dream of doing, they actually liked it. It was fun. They have fond memories of it. But those days are past, I'm afraid.
So kids in the olden times used to be stupid, is what you're saying?
No. No, you made the point that to a kid, work is fun. And you know, there was a time where they were doing real work and having real fun doing it. I think work can always be fun, no matter how old you are, but, you know.
Also, when you think about it, a Betsy Wetsy doll is really just a squirt gun in the shape of, well, never mind.
Wow, I'm so glad you showed restraint there. I can't believe it, but I'm very happy.
I'm tired. Otherwise, I don't know.
I could, you know, I don't know why anyone would want something like that, but I presume that the young ladies that I knew who had that kind of thing, they just thought it made the pretend playtime more realistic when their, you know, little baby doll would not just, well, there's two things that happen with these dolls. It's not just that they wet and you have to change their diapers.
Shit, too, no, all over the place. No. It was such a mess.
When you put the bottle in their mouth, the liquid goes out of the bottle and into them. I mean, that's probably the more important part. It seems like you're actually feeding the child. Then you have to deal with, you know, the other part.
The sister doll, little Stacy Scat, did not go over nearly so well. You used to have to feed her chocolate bars, and then
what is the matter with you?
I'm tired. It's been a long day.
Oh, you're always
calling.
Like this. You can't use that as an excuse.
I'm not hardly drinking caffeine anymore. It's messing with me.
Well, that's probably good that you're not.
It is. I'm mostly just drinking water now.
Good. But yeah, I think that it was probably more the feeding part. And then the people who invented the doll thought, well, you
know, it's got to go somewhere.
There's an easy way for us to get rid of the stuff going in. Hey, good idea.
It took a couple of tries. The first they had Betsy Sweatsy, where she just perspired it out. And it came with a little towel. You just dabbed her off all the time.
Well, you know, the first thing was, of course, it just filled up. It's like, well, what are we going to do now? Now it's like getting clogged. What are we supposed to do? I don't know.
Then they had one that you feed her and then you put her in the freezer. And then you pull out a little ring in her ass and it's a popsicle that you could eat there. But that couldn't get past the sensors. So and I have no idea what they called that one.
But those types of dolls were really popular for a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
We probably better stop.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, I suppose it's not going to harm anything for me just to mention that, yeah, I do have a website with some content on it, jesusismygrandpappy.com. We talked about it
it's
the first
time.
It's
been linked on episode one or
and
two or
a,
something.
There's a webcomic there that I produced called Stuck.
Which is awesome. I love that webcomic.
You can find links to the band that I play in, Pilot House. We have an album on iTunes, and there's also you can find links to two novels I've written under the pen name Clifton D. Hawk there too. There's also some discussion that happens in the forums, and there's some essays and stuff. There's some fun stuff if you're interested in. And if you have any comments, good or bad, about what you find there, I'm always eager to get any kind of feedback.
I was having lunch with two people who listened to the podcast, and we were talking about your novels. And one of them's like, oh, yeah, does he use his own name or does he write under another one? And I'm like, he writes under another one. And the other listener said, yeah, Clifton D. Hawk. And we're both like together. We're like, which you'd know from episode one of the podcast. I'm going to pimp a couple of links here. Actually, ones that I just mentioned now. Audible.com is a very cool place to go to buy audiobooks. They have this cool deal that's their gold package, where basically you pay $14.95 a month and you get a credit, which is good usually for a book. It depends. Some books cost 2 credits, but most of the books cost 1 credit. They have a ton of books there. They also have actual money prices if you want to buy books. But the really cool thing is usually if you get the gold package, you get 2 weeks for free and you get 1 credit. So you could go get one book and then cancel and it's fine. Like, so you'll get one book for just for free. So check it out. It's pretty awesome. And for you cheap bastards, I also want to recommend Podio Books, which we were talking about earlier, spelled PODIOBooks.com. And what it is it's kind of the audiobook equivalent of Lulu. It's basically free audiobooks of people who just go and self-publish there. And you have to be a little careful wandering around because it is sort of self-publishing, so there is some stuff that's like this guy reading his fan fiction that happens to be really long. But there's also some really awesome novels and some authors who are genuine, serious, successful published authors who still put their stuff there as audiobooks for free, which is awesome. One of the big highlights I would recommend is the Heaven series by Murr Lafferty. All of Murr Lafferty's stuff is really good, but the Heaven series is really good, and it's got 5 seasons to it. Make sure you start with the right one. Good stuff, though, about 2 friends who die in a car accident and die and go to heaven, and then they get bored, so they actually end up getting permission to take a tour of the various afterlives to see what they're like, and then hijinks ensue, and it's good stuff, and she writes really good, strong female characters that are very sort of believable and normal, but still I think it's very empowering. I like her female characters a lot. But there's a lot of good stuff on there. I may put up some other links in the show notes. Do go check out the show notes and everything else at the blog, magicaltalkinghat.wordpress.com. Please go there and comment and talk and whatever, and if you do it enough, maybe we'll make some forums. But William and I are frequently checking that place out and commenting on stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a few regulars there. Also, email the damn hat. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Email it or I will kill a puppy. maybe yours, so watch out.
And incidentally, at the Jesus is My Grandpappy site, there's a cinema link where you can see a lot of video stuff, including the films that we made, including the one that Tony's in.
The one that I'm in.
Inquire Within.
But is really the best film I've Inquire seen Within, since Do the Right Thing.
Inquire Within, Will vs. Chocolate, and Junior Park Patrol are all out there.
Junior Park Patrol's hilarious.
I'm a little worried, though, because I think we put them on Google Video, and I just got a message from Google Video saying that they're going to get rid of all their stuff.
Well, damn it. It should have been on YouTube anyway.
Well, we'll probably re-release them on YouTube. So
all the cool kids are on YouTube. Did you know that the year Do the Right Thing, by the Spike Lee movie, came out, was nominated for Best Picture, and it lost to Out of Africa, which is a story about 2 white people in Africa?
Is that...
There is some deep irony.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's ironic, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of stole that, but I never had known that until recently. Okay, that's it, people. We're getting tired of this shit, so... good night to you.
Good night.
And disregard the last hour.
Cue the outro.
I'm getting there.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.